to T-Mobile. We've proven that we can win in Montreal. Can we do it again? And then come back here and wrap it up? Wouldn't that be way cool? That would be amazing. Coming up, we're going to come back to the legislature and the 80th Nevada legislature. Lobbying was a challenge with the pandemic. The legislative building was closed for most of the legislature. Yeah, and it was difficult to do business. What was it like for Americans for Prosperity? Well, we'll ask a guy who's in charge of that, Marcos Lopez, legislative liaison for Americans for Prosperity. He'll join us coming up in our next hour. Pat Casale will talk insurance, your health insurance, and what's going to change now under President Biden. We'll do all that and more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
There's a reason certified pre-owned Land Rovers enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Land Rovers. With 100,000 mile and up to 7 years coverage, certified pre-owned Land Rovers still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on your next adventure. Come find your certified pre-owned vehicle today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas at our new location, 6425 Roy Horn Way, on the south side of the 215, just west of Jones.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by friends of Scott Hammond.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. John McAfee, creator of the McAfee antivirus software, has been found dead in his jail cell near Barcelona in an apparent suicide.
McAfee's body was found hours after a Spanish court approved his extradition to the United States to face tax charges. Security personnel at the prison in northeastern Spain tried to revive McAfee, who was 75 years old. But the regional government says the jail's medical team finally certified his death. A government statement says authorities are still investigating, but everything points to death by suicide. John David McAfee started McAfee Associates in 1987 and led an eccentric life after selling his stake in the software company named after him in the early 1990s. I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
President Biden has unveiled several steps to stem a rising tide of violent crime sweeping the nation.
The president's plan focuses on addressing gun violence, and it puts gun dealers who break federal law on notice.
We'll make sure you can't sell death and mayhem on our streets. It's an outrage. It has to end, and we'll end it.
Mr. Biden also proposes providing more money to cities that need more police. Meanwhile, the Justice Department is launching strike forces in five large cities to help take down illegal gun traffickers. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Correspondent Joseph Krauss reports Israel has approved the demolition of a Palestinian home following a deadly shooting.
Israel's Supreme Court today upheld the demolition order for the home of Montasser Shalabi and his family in the occupied West Bank. Montasser Shalabi was arrested last month, and he's accused of carrying out a drive-by shooting that killed an Israeli and wounded two others. And this is a policy that Israel has in which it will destroy the family home of an attacker who has already been killed or arrested.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 71 points, the NASDAQ rose 18, the S&P declined 4. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
With a Democratic sweep officially in place, we are now at the mercy of tax and spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company in America. With an A-plus BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio.
I'm Mark Hutchison, founding partner of the law firm of Hutchison & Stephan. We're the Nevada law firm focused on helping businesses do business, especially when governmental obstacles get in the way. As someone who has been heavily involved with state government for many years, I know how government works and doesn't work for business. With so many rules, procedures, and regulations, Nevada businesses are almost certain to become entangled with government at some point. Bottom line, if your business gets caught up in the quagmire of a dispute with government, you can count on Hutchison & Stephan to help you navigate the rules, procedures, and regulations of federal, state, county, or city government. When you have a dispute with the government, we are the go-to firm for Nevada businesses. Whether it's facing the prospect of a proceeding before a board, commission, or agency, or finding yourself in court with the government on the other side, our team will be on your side. Call Hutchison & Stephan, 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com. That's 702-385-2500. Or visit hutchlegal.com.
It's 4:04. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Kenesha Bishop, the woman accused of pushing a 74-year-old man off a bus who later died, will face a jury on separate charges that she stole a rental car while out on bail on murder and other charges. Prosecutors say she rented a 2020 Chevy Impala from Enterprise in July of last year and never returned it after the rental agreement ended. Deputy District Attorney Madeline Cole said Bishop made no payments to the rental company for a month before Enterprise reported it stolen and police recovered it. After a second visit to the Vegas Valley, Oakland A's officials have actually added to their list of possible sites for a Major League Baseball park. The list is now at more than 20. A's owner John Fisher and team president Dave Cavall toured more sites during their visit this past week. Team officials say they do have a third trip in Las Vegas planned for the week of July 5th. The Golden Knights had no answers for the Canadiens. Las Vegas was ready to move one step closer to playing for the Stanley Cup for the second time in their four-year history, but they instead turned in one of their worst games of the postseason, losing 4-1 to Montreal at T-Mobile Arena, and now trail in the best-of-seven series, 3-2. Game 6 is tomorrow in Montreal. Go Knights, go.
KCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Quick check of the traffic cams. Expect congestion on the downtown freeways, 515 east at Main, west 515 at Eastern. Lane restrictions, that's causing some backups on the Southern Beltway, 215 westbound at St. Rose. And you're averaging about 35 miles per hour on the 15 through the resort corridor in both directions.
Gather around!
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are... Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of it.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do when he followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out!
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Members of the 81st Nevada Legislature are back at home. Living under the laws they passed during the 81st Nevada legislature. There will be at least one, maybe two, maybe three special sessions called by the governor to deal with various issues over the course of the next couple of months. But right now, we're kind of taking a look back at what happened, why it happened, how much damage did Democrats do to the state of Nevada. For that, we check in with Marcos Lopez, legislative liaison for Americans for Prosperity. And by the way, this hour of Live and Local brought to you by Americans for Prosperity. Marcos, always good to have you on. This was a very challenging 120 days of the Nevada legislature. Tell me what it was like for AFP.
Well, it's always great to be on here with you, Kevin. You know, I just think back to what Mark Twain said, right? No man's life, liberty, or property is safe while the legislature is in. So we're all a little bit safer these days. But looking back, the legislative session could be characterized in two halves. There's the first half where, you know, been on here many times discussing how it was close to the general public, how there wasn't the amount of knowledge being shared that great portions of the public was in the dark about. Then we had the slow reopening, and then the final real reopening where we took advantage of that. We made sure we were there with our activists. We made sure we were in the halls, and we made sure that we were informing the public every single step of the way of what was going on in that building. And you know, there were some good things that occurred. There were some bad things. There's definitely some ugly things. I think that property owners definitely took a hit this legislative session, especially if you're a landlord. I think the ability to use your property in what way you would like to, we're definitely steering down the path of California. But, you know, there were some good things. There was no tax hikes, major ones. I think we had a little bit with the mining tax, which is a whole separate issue. But in terms of property taxes, sales taxes, a city supplemental tax the city of Reno was trying to get through, we were able to hoard off about 13 different tax hikes that they were coming after us with.
Now, last time I checked, there was $2.7 billion coming into the state, $4.5 billion, if you believe some of the early reports overall. And I guess my question is, with all this new influx of new money coming into the state, why did anybody think that we needed to add taxes and to put it into 13 different bills?
So, it was two different parts. The main argument early on was, you know, we didn't know how much money was coming in, right? Economic Forum did end up showing that we had a large windfall because everyone was eager getting back into Las Vegas. Everyone was eager going back out to Reno and spending their money in what we do best in the hospitality industry in Nevada. But then there's just people who just want to always raise taxes. There is a real cohort that just believes in taxes and spending. And the more taxes and more spending, that is their measure of success. What new program can we put in? What new regulation can we get in? What new tax can we bring into the state? And that is just the wrong mental model for the direction of how do we want this state to bounce back, which it already is bouncing back, but to really get that back into hyper gear how we were before this pandemic.
I want to ask you about AB 495. It was the mining tax. There were Republicans that actually voted for the bill. The mining industry asked for the bill. What position did Americans for Prosperity take?
So we were opposed to this. At a time, it was a lot to really go and digest of this legislation in the beginning. The bill was dropped in the last 36 hours, right? It's Monday, Memorial Day was the last day of the session. That previous Saturday, that evening, it was dropped, and then Sunday the bill was heard, and then it was pushed through as fast as possible. This is one of those bills that was all negotiated behind closed doors prior. Even at the hearing, Chairwoman Carlton said, you know, we're not really going to be taking any amendments on this bill. This is the deal that has been struck. And we're asking for your votes to get it through, which is based, they wouldn't bring it forward if they didn't already have the vote. But we are a very unique position. You know, this is one of those situations where an industry made the calculation that it's better to give in on a certain amount of taxes than maybe risk losing more in the long run. So it's really kind of cronyist in nature in that sense. But for us, it was very complicated because there was money in there for opportunity scholarships, which is something that you know that school choice is a big issue for us. It's something that we are big supporters of, that we would love to
continue to see expand in this state that unfortunately we've been getting our hearts broken for far too long. But the problem is that we can't put what we want in terms of good policy second and sacrifice good fiscal policy. Everything is predicated on good fiscal policy. And it's inappropriate for the government to be able to legislate this behavior in this way. And then we need to be working to uncouple excise taxes and these dedicated funding sources for certain programs, because that just makes it more difficult in the long run to get more money into these programs and to expand these programs, because then the counter is going to be, well, we already have a fund dedicated to that. We can leave it at that lower level. But in general, overall, our position was that we need to oppose this. And, you know, it's frankly unfortunate that this is another year where we're coupling taxes with education policy in a way that's detrimental to the school choice effort in the long run, just like in 2019 with the MBT and ESA and Opportunity Scholarship.
Let me ask you, is the time going to come, or is it going to be that we're going to have to put it up to an initiative, to a vote of the people? Because ESAs are hugely popular. They are popular with people of color, all make, model of citizen in our state. And I guess my question is the time going to come when we're going to have to say, we're never going to get this legislatively because the Culinary Union and the school unions, the teachers unions, they all are going to oppose it. Is it going to come down to we're just going to have to put this up for an initiative to a vote?
I think that would be a great path. I know frequent listeners to your show are familiar with Aaron Phillips over at Power to Parent. And I know that's something that they have discussed before. I don't want to, you know, speak for them, but I think that that is, would be a wonderful idea and a wonderful path to go to. This is an extremely popular program. These are extremely popular solutions, and more than being popular, they work. We know they work. The research is there. We have decades of this. I always point to Florida that keeps moving and keeps killing us in scores, keeps killing us in using their money efficiently on education, and it's all because of these programs. And we see gains, educational gains across the board, no matter what race, no matter what income level you are, and that is the method and that we need to follow. You know, on this issue, it is a problem with the unions. The teachers' unions are way too strong, way too powerful on this. I was reading on the Nevada Independent, they had one called, an article recently called The Power of the CCEA. We kind of went into this, but they are the major hurdle for us passing school choice reforms, because they don't want competition. They do not want a better school popping up down the street that will then threaten their money for their administrators, for their teachers, and for their programs.
Marcos Lopez joining us, legislative liaison for Americans for Prosperity. We're going to talk about another one of those really bad bills that came up during the 81st Nevada legislature, and it's SB 420. It's the public option. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. Great to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Carry on my wayward son, don't you cry no more.
Carry on all the way to your locally owned Meineke, your one-stop shop for total car care. With Meineke e-inspection, you'll know the problem and the fix. We'll send real-time updates, photos, and technician notes straight to your phone. Book online today and get a $17.95 basic oil change. Engine, brakes, tires, oil. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702 866-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Guys and gals, by now you know there are non-invasive and minimally invasive medical solutions to hair restoration without side effects, right?
No.
Okay, so you don't know. Doctors of Hair use only clinically proven treatments, from platelet-rich plasma hair therapy that uses your own platelets to stimulate stem cells deep in your hair follicle to halt hair loss and regrow hair, to the FDA-cleared clinical hair restoration laser that's proven to regrow hair, to neograft hair transplants that offer discreet, natural-looking results in a week or less with no linear scarring. All of these services are administered by Doctors of Hair caring medical professionals, experts at understanding how devastating hair loss can be at any age. Treatments work for both men and women wanting a natural, thicker head of hair without side effects.
Doctors of Hair, call now, 702-751-0086. That's 702-751-0086 or online at doctorsofhair.com.
Doctors of Hair, now you know.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Newsmakers, newsbreakers, and everything in between. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Again, Marcos Lopez joining us from Americans for Prosperity. By the way, this hour of Live and Local brought to you by our good friends at the Libre Initiative. Marcos, tell me what it was like operating in Carson City with the building closed, what, more than half the session, and even when it was open for a good period, it was semi-open. Can you talk a little bit about how you communicated with legislators? How did you get your messaging across?
I mean, the main route that we took, I mean, that's where the relationships that you've built before really come in. For the freshmen, it was a little bit harder. Did those meeting introductions at the beginning, kind of explain our organization, you know, that we believe in limited government, free markets, individual liberty, and reducing the role of government in our civil society, in our daily lives. But moving on from that, I mean, it's those relationships that you've built over time, as well as, you know, reaching out to the community to reach to them. And that was something major that we did, and especially for SB 420, which is that public option bill, the week after, almost less than a week probably, we were hitting doors in select districts and communities, and we were talking to the voters, going directly where they are, and telling them, hey, there's this really terrible bill that's coming out that's going to be a threat to health care, you know, reduce your health care choice and your service providers in the state. And we went directly, we were knocking probably close to 2,000 doors a week, and we did that at the turn of the dime because that's how important that bill was. And on top of that, you know, we were having people flood their offices or phone calls. I was under the dome doing, you know, kind of in conjunction with that, sharing the same messaging, meeting with other lobbyists and other of the industry people, discussing about what they were doing, what they were hearing, and what they were seeing. So we really pulled out all the stops, especially for that piece of legislation, which is something that we're going to continue to engage on, because there's an implementation date on that one of 2026. So between then and now, we have a lot of work to do, and we think that we can make sure that this issue stays at the forefront and really becomes a winning issue.
Now, let me ask you, is that a new strategy of essentially going around the legislators and going directly to the voters?
It's not a new strategy, not for us. I mean, that has been always our bread and butter. This is a grassroots organization first. People are always, you guys are well-funded and well that, but that doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of well-funded organizations out there. There's a lot of organizations out there that lack what we have. What we have is we have that willingness to go out there straight to the voter, straight to the public, and bring the message to them and educate them about what's going on. Because at the end of the day, that is where the source and the power really comes from, is making sure that we have the voters that understand what's going on, have the right information, that they're able to make the right decisions as we move forward as a nation and as a state.
What was bad about SB 420 that scared everybody and their brother over the course of the 120-day Nevada legislature? What was it about that legislation, the public option, which won't fully be implemented, as you mentioned, till 2026? What was it that scared you most about that bill?
So it's the biggest thing is the quality of care we're going to get and the access. And that's what they're always going to say, this bill is going to increase quality, this bill is going to increase access. When you reimburse healthcare providers at cost, what are you going to happen? What does any business do if they're losing money on what service that they're providing? They're going to shift the cost. So people who are in private healthcare insurance plans and get insurance through their employers are going to be absorbing the cost of individuals who are on the public option. Because by law, this public option has to be eventually 15% lower of what's available on the market for the general public. So that means that there's going to be a massive transfer of cost onto everyone else. We're going to see providers close. We're going to see providers leave the state. And that is the biggest worry and the biggest concern, is that we're going to have a dramatic drop of access to healthcare providers, which means we have less of them, which means there's less competition in an industry and in a market that's already kind of rigid with the amount of regulations and laws in it. That's going to increase the cost for everyone and increase wait times and lower the quality of care that we will be receiving, especially those individuals in rural areas where we already have a doctor shortage. I can't think of a worse way to attract more people to the healthcare industry in Nevada than saying you're going to be compensated less.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Pat Casale. He is a health insurance broker. He remembers the same way I remember, 4 or 5 years ago, when things were really looking bad with Obamacare, and we had some counties in the state that only had one, maybe two options as far as carriers. Is it possible we could end up going back to those bad old days where insurance companies said, thanks, but no thanks, we'll go to Connecticut?
100%. I think we already have the evidence of this. I believe it was Washington was the first state in the United States to do this, and their premiums have skyrocketed. The amount of providers in that area have already shrunk, and this is as clear as day. Now, we're going to be testing this experiment potentially in 2026. Colorado is also inching that way. I think their governor signed something recently of this kind of same light. And if more states keep moving in this direction, this is going to trickle across, because there are many healthcare providers that operate across state lines, that operate in various different areas. This is going to affect not just our state, but eventually it's going to affect the entire country, particularly if we end up passing some form of public option or Medicaid buy-in or Medicaid for all scheme at the national level, which is something that we have to make sure that we stop. And this is something that I truly believe that when you educate people, we will be winning on this issue. And this is something, healthcare in particular, something that we should be winning, that we were winning from 2010 to about 2018. And we should be back on the offensive. This is not something we should have ever lost. And, it is what it is now. But I think this is definitely an issue that is the epitome of what free markets can do if you let them work, which is provide higher quality care at lower cost.